Emmer.
Emmer elakoyinim ne'ar. And then it says v'amarta lehem. Twice it has the Loshna Mira. Twice it says say. Rashi and Chazal tell us lahazir g'doylim alaktanim, that the adults have to train the children and make sure the children keep away from Tumah. Even though chinuch is a drabonon, this is a chiyuv deraisa to keep them away from Tumah. We don't see any mention of ketanim in the posuk. It just says twice amira to the adults. So why? Where did Chazal see that the second amira is father to children? Rav Moshe Shapiro said pshat, is the way to influence children is by strengthening the resolve and the commitment of the adults. Meaning, it's not saying to tell the children. By telling the father twice, you're stressing to the father, you want your child to keep Hilchos Tumah. There's one way to do it. Make sure that you do it in the best way possible. When the father strengthens the resolve, that will make the children act in that way as well. The Dubna Magid once asked the Vilna Gaon, what is the most effective way to inspire and to influence others? And he said, take a large cup, surround it with smaller cups. Pour liquid into the large cup, and what will happen? You keep pouring, it'll overflow into the smaller cups. The older person, the bigger person, the one who wants to do the influence, he has to fill himself. It'll overflow to the other people. The word we should use for chinuch is not tmima chanuch, but mashpia. Mashpia means influence. And the word shipua is a lashon of an incline, on a slant. In other words, the water trickles down on a slant. Chinuch is being mashpia. It's a slant, it trickles down. Just give you an example I saw written recently. There were two people learned in Kodal Neret Yisrael, and one of them moved to France. When he was in France, they wanted to keep up learning about Chavrusa, and it was hard to keep up the Chavrusa, obviously, with the time differences. So they would learn a half hour from 11:30 to 12 every night. And one of them had a son who was often up at night. He was crying, would get up out of bed. And one day the mother of this child told the child, I want you to draw a picture for me. You draw so nicely. It's a three-year-old child. Draw a picture of the first thing that comes to your mind. And the child drew a picture of his father sitting on the phone. He had there a picture of the clock where that he could recognize both the big hand and the small hand were facing the 12. And it was dark outside. That was the first picture that came to his head. In other words, what came to his mind? His father sitting on the phone learning. This is something we have to keep in mind, because it's not just parents to children, it's everybody. You're constantly influencing people around you. How you act, if you listen to the shiur, other people. You disturb encourages the people around you to disturb. Probably one of the most interesting examples of this, which some of you may have heard, is a kindergarten teacher comes in, and every week they have a Shabbos Tati. And the Shabbos Tati, he stands there to make Kiddush, and he picks up the kois he has. He puts a hat, they have a hat he puts on his head. He picks up the kois, and he says, he's holding the kois, and before he begins, he's holding it, he says, thank you, Mummy, for making such a nice Shabbos. Thank you, Shloimi, for taking out the garbage. Thank you, Sarla, for setting the table. And he goes through all the children. And then he starts, Yoim Hashishi. And a couple of weeks later, there's another child. He gets up, he's holding the kois, and he goes, Oi, Chanishkin Koyach, I have no strength at all. So what are they saying over? They say over exactly what they saw. That was their chinuch. So nobody told them to say that. A person, what they see is what they're going to do. The Pasuk says, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, very, very important yesoid over here. V'loy sechallu eshem kodshi. M'tvechallu shem shemayim. V'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. One of the greatest chatoim a person can do is chil Hashem. The Gemara in Yuma Pei Vav says, Mi shekoyre v'shoyna m'shamesh tamidei chachomim. Somebody who learns, or today would mean somebody who's in yeshiva. He does his business ethically, meaning he borrows money from other people. He remembers to pay back what he borrows in yeshiva. V'dibur b'nachas, he speaks gently to people. In a game, in a basketball game, things go wrong. He speaks gently to people. Mahabriyas Oymrimalov, he acts in the street the same way as well. What do people say about him? Ashrei Oviv Shalom de Torah. Ashrei Rabbi Shalom de Torah. Forstad is his Rebbe's parents. They raised him in such a way. Ru'u Ployni. Look at this person, Shalom de Torah. He learns in yeshiva as a Ben Torah. Kamu Noim Drachav, how pleasant are his ways. Kamu Musokim Musokonim Maisov. How good are his deeds. Olova Kozvim, the Torah says about him. Yisrael Ato Avdi, Hashem Cho Espoe. The Ribbon Shalom is so proud of us. And then there's Chas V'Sholem, the opposite. Chil Hashem is so chamor, the Chazal tell us, the Mishnah in Shavuos, Echad Shoigeg Ve'Echad Meizid V'Chil Hashem. Even a Shoigeg, there's no excuses in Chil Hashem. Enough time to go into the Pshat. Why now? You're annoying, you didn't mean it was a Shoigeg. But in Chil Hashem, there's no excuses. Even a Shoigeg gets punished. It's very chamor. Tell you a story that just happened recently. I have a neighbor, Mr. Rosenberg, lives on Kami Ridge, Chassidus Yid. He, Rachman Islan, lost children. One of his children was very sick, and he was with that child in the hospital in Cincinnati. He'd been to different hospitals with this child, and was now in the hospital in Cincinnati. He's a Chassid Shiid, he's not a Mechanach at all. But while he was in Cincinnati, there was a koidel there, which he had shaykhus to, an outreach koidel there. And the person running the koidel asked him that he has a party in his house on Purim, Purim by night. 70 Kurdish students are coming. Could he come and say a few words? So, he's not really a speaker, he wasn't so excited to go and do it. But he thought he can talk about the chest in Klai Yisrael. He has seen firsthand what you don't see in the Goyish world, unbelievable chesed, both now in Cincinnati and all the different places he's been, whether it's hospital rooms they have in hospitals. There's different chasodim that never people are sick who experience and they see amazing things. So he decided to come. It was Purim night. He comes to the neighborhood. And he's driving around the neighborhood looking for a place to park. But since it was a quiet area, small, you know, the area wasn't a very built-up area. It was just, you know, back streets there. All the parking spots were full. There were a lot of college students came with cars. Most of them came with cars. Nowhere to park. He's going around in circles, and it's time for him to speak. He doesn't know what to do. Finally, he sees a space which isn't really a spot. It's halfway a spot, and halfway it's into somebody's driveway. But he figures he's not going to be there that long, and there's room in the driveway still to get out. He has no choice, he's going to park there. I'll be out within a half hour. So he parks his car there. He's getting out the car, and a guy screams at him, "Hey, you!" And it was this huge African-American. And he started trembling, and he says, "Don't worry, I'm moving my car." He says, no, that's not what I wanted. It's okay, you can park there. He says, "I wanted to ask you, there's all these cars here now tonight. What's going on over here?" So he says that, you know, we have a festival, it's Purim, and we have a party, and they all came for this party over here. It's a Jewish festival. It's, oh, Jewish, I love Jewish people. He says, somehow their morals are so unbelievable, so upright, and also the way they treat each other, respect them for each other. It's like, it's an amazing type of people. I've read a lot about them, I've seen them in action. I'm so impressed by them. He says, "Really?" He says, "You know, would you mind doing me a favor? Since you're so impressed by them, why don't you come to the party with me and say over what you're impressed about? It's all Jewish people there." He says, "Sure, no problem." So he comes in with this 6-foot African-American into the party. The college students are all there. And he says, "You know, I was just parking outside. I met this fellow, and he wants to say a few words. He lives across the road here." So they gave him the mic, and he speaks. And he tells them about his respect for Jews and all speech. And then he leaves. And then this Mr. Rosenberg spoke a few words and he left. The next day, the person in charge of it, and the kohen calls him up, and he says to him, "You won't believe," he says, "what you accomplished." He says, "Before you came in, they were all asking questions. You know, you say we're so special, we're a special people always and everything. Every religion says that. The Muslims say that. The Christians say that. What makes us more special than anybody else?" And after that question, this man comes in and talks like that. It blew their minds, he said. I'll show you another story. There's a small hotel in Manchester run by Mr. Fulda. And one day it was Kratzmach time, and he has a worker, he has a non-Jewish woman who worked for him in the hotel, and the catering business he has. And this lady, she's going back to Ireland. She was a real Irish Catholic, and she was going back for the holidays back to Ireland. She's going for a week. So before she's leaving, Bernadette says to him, "Mr. Fulda, you know, I love working for you. I enjoy it. But there's one thing I don't understand. You know, you're so busy, your religion. Do you know how special, how wonderful our religion is? You know, maybe you should just celebrate this holiday with us. Think about it. Maybe you want to join, you know, just join and try out this holiday. You never know. Maybe you'll see it's also very wonderful." So he says to, "Listen here, Bernadette," he says, "let me ask you a question. When we do catering affairs, and then we have leftovers, what do we do with the leftovers?" He says, "There's a group," she says, "you know, there's that group of people come, you know, what they call it, sharing some plate, what they call it, and a group of people come, and they take the leftover and they pack it up." He says, "What do they do with the leftovers?" "Oh, they give it out to poor people." He says, "Okay." He says, "Now, do you remember when I'm driving, and what do I do on the way when I'm going somewhere and I see people who want a ride? You always stop." He says, "Do I know those people?" "No, you don't know them. And you always give them rides." "Yeah." He says, "And do you remember one time when we were driving, we were on the way, and it was very important, we had to get that place, we were catering an event, and the truck, we had a flat tire, what happened?" He says, yeah, you call that group, or Kaverim, whatever, you call that group, and they came, they changed the tire." He says, did I pay them any money?" He says, no, they're volunteers, they came." And he says, "And remember when we were in the hotel, and one of the waiters cut himself with a knife? What happened?" He says, "That group, yeah, Hatzolah, that group, they came here, and they took care of it." He says, "So let me ask you something. So this holiday you're celebrating, there was this lady, Mary, and she was in Bethlehem, and she went knocking at every door in town, and nobody would take her in. So she had to go into a barn, and she had the baby. Now this town was a Jewish town, and you want to tell me, you saw all the things these Jews do, and you want to tell me not one Jew would open the door for her? It doesn't make sense to me. I can't celebrate that holiday." So she says, "Okay," and she left. Afterwards, she came back from the vacation, and he said to her, "How's your vacation?" She said to Mr. Fulda, "You ruined my vacation." The Pasuk says, "Lekachtem lechem," you should take to yourself, "pri etzoda, kapus tamorim, anaf etzovis." Why do we make the bracha on the lulav? So Chazal asked this question already. So it's gevoya mikulot. It's higher than all the other meaning. But philosophically, why would you make the bracha on the lulav? Philosophically, we know the Medrash tells us that all of the minim represent different parts of the body. There's the lev, there's the inayim, there's the lips, and there's the shedro, right? The spine, lips. So the esrog is the lev. The lulav is the shedro, is the spine. If I asked you which is more important, the lev or the spine, say the lev. The lev is the most important, the shedro. So it would make sense then that the bracha should be on the esrog, which is the lev. Why is the bracha on the lulav? And the answer is also a yesod in Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin speaks very much in his sefer Nefesh HaChaim about the idea of people getting carried away with kavonas, what we call today spirituality, a kavon in the mitzvah, harugoshes, feelings for the mitzvah, and because of it, they don't land up doing the maisa mitzvah. A person does all kavonas for davening, and all hachonas for davening, and then he misses Zman Tefillah. Pointless. It is very important to have kavana, but more important is the act of the mitzvah. A person does all of kavanas and he misses the Zman, it's already nightfall, you can't shake lulav. More important is to shake it without kavana would help better. So he says you have to put things in perspective and know the maisa is the ikkah, and to the maisa the kavana is very important. But don't make everything out of the kavana. And today as well we see that people get carried away with spirituality. There's a story of a girl. She became a balas tshuva, and she was flying high. It wasn't much long later that she was flying high, 35,000 feet in the air. She is on her way to Israel. She wants all the spirituality she can get. And she arrives. She arrives in Israel. She gets off the plane. She kisses the ground. Wow, Israel. She feels so great. Here I am, the Holy Land. She has a taxi take her to Jerusalem. That's the holiest place of all. And they arrive in Yerushalayim, and she smells a smell. A marvelous, oh, what a smell. She says to the driver, what is that smell? He says to her, angels.
Angel
bakery. Yeah. Wow, angels. For those who don't know, angels is the bakery. Bakery's there. You can get, a person has to be a little down to earth. I'll show you a story which I know you're going to enjoy over here of getting too spiritual and you lose touch with reality. This one you're going to like. This is dedicated to you, this story. True story. There was a bocher who was in a yeshiva and he was dorming in somebody's house. And the balabas there told him that, you know, now you're not living in the yeshiva, you're living in this house. It's important that you shower more than once a week when you go to the mikveh, v'hameivin yovin. So he said, okay. A friend of his came into the Beis HaMedrash once and he sees him crying his eyes out. He asked him, why are you crying? So he said, because every week, every Erev Shabbos, I went to the mikveh. And I used to feel, after I went to the mikveh, took a shower, went to the mikveh, I came out, I could mamish feel my neshama yaseira. I felt so unbelievable, a different world. He says, just now I took a shower, and I felt exactly the same. Shabbos.